Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this. I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter. That's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black. Directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R. Under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, it's Will Friedle.
And Sabrina Bryan.
And we're the hosts of the new podcast, Magical Rewind.
You may know us from some of your favorite childhood TV movies, like My Date with the President's Daughter.
And the Cheetah Girls movies.
Together, we're sitting down to watch all the movies you grew up with and chat with some of your favorite stars and crew that made these iconic movies happen.
So kick back, grab your popcorn, and join us. Listen to Magical Rewind on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Brought to you by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hello. Whoa. Sorry about that. Keep it, Justin. It's all right. The people need to know. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 182, episode 3 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. See, Miles, I told you, when I don't do my half hour of vocal warm-ups before we record, this is what happens.
Bumblebee, bumblebee, bumblebee.
This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness. As we were telling our guest before we started recording, it was originally named after Carson Daly.
Yeah, the Carson Daly.
Yeah, couldn't get the rights, so we had to add an I.
Well, it's also, the thing that you and I both discovered is we both had restraining orders against this one, Carson Daly. Completely unrelated. And we're like, weird.
Huh.
I guess we'll pivot to something else then.
Hey, my name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Little More Caffeination, Little Less Fascism. That is courtesy of Asher Klassen. Klassen? I needed him to tell me what that was supposed to be, because if you start a song parody with a little, I'm not going to be able to get Mambo Number 5 out of my head.
Right.
I was like, a little more caffeination in my life. and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles Gray, a.k.a. Deeper, Bluer, I'm feeling like a shark's dick! Deeper, Bluer, I'm feeling like a shark's dick. Shout out to Christy Yamaguchi, man, at Waffle House. Because look, I heard the colloquialism, I'm feeling lower than a shark's dick. That kicked off a whole investigation into shark coercive sex. Yeah. And then this is a comeback to the Deep Blue Sea. That was called, right? Deep Blue Sea?
Yeah, Deep Blue Sea. Yeah. His hat was like a shark's dick.
Like a shark's fin.
In the lyric. Oh, yes. Shark's fin. Sorry.
Oh,
misremembered that.
I got to go back. Yeah, and then one of the best death scenes involving Sam Jackson. I'll say that's what that movie has.
Yeah, absolutely. That conversation happened on mic, huh? The shark's dick conversation. That was...
But then it continued
for like 25 minutes after we recorded.
Well, if you remember, we're delaying recording the trending episode because we just got swept away by all the shark TikTok, and they're like, save it for the mic, man.
Yeah. But then the Google image search rabbit hole that we went down on shark dicks after we recorded.
And the people that collect them.
Collect them. Whale dorks, also a collectible, which are human-sized whale penises. All very interesting stuff that I'm sure our guest is excited to talk about. She is the brilliant, the talented Paige Wilder!
Hey!
Oh my God. Human-sized...
Yeah.
Whale dicks. You know, I think of whales, I think, wow, so peaceful, so beautiful. But we forget what lies beneath.
I mean,
literally.
Yeah, they can still be peaceful and beautiful. That's true. All about the eye of the beholder, I guess.
Except when they're like breaching with like a full on Woody, and you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
What are the whales doing? What is this, a show of force? I don't know. Anyway.
Have either of you ever gone like on a whale tour? Like, have you seen a whale?
I've seen a whale, but not with the explicit, you know, it was like just, you know, happenstance. It was just wonderful, a coincidence that we saw a whale. But no, I've not like gone to see the whales. No,
I do feel like I went on one once and we actually saw two whales, and I do feel like it changed me. I feel like a different person after I saw them.
Yeah.
Did you see it really close?
Yeah, we got pretty close.
Oh, shit.
It was pretty cool.
I just got to see, like, in the distance, you're like, oh, shit, that's a whale. And then you kind of go on with your day. But I can only imagine, because whenever I see videos of, like, people, like, free swimming, that's like a blue whale, I'm like, that seems so vibey. That's what I need.
Yeah.
And it's so quiet. We, like, it was like this, I don't know, some Groupon that me and my boyfriend got. And we were like, oh, my God, this is the most beautiful experience based around Groupon that one could probably have.
Right. All my spiritual experiences are Groupon based.
Right. Yeah. Well, we were like, it was like we thought we weren't going to see one, because most of those tours, you don't end up seeing a whale.
Right.
You just kind of have to accept that. But we like got out to, it seemed really far, and then it got quiet. They like turned the engines off or whatever, and it was just like purely like silent, and you could just hear the whales kind of little splashes.
Right.
It was crazy.
Whales are so cool.
That'd be a good like blog where you rank Groupon experiences. That could actually kind of be like transformative for you.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, these are under, like, I know it looks like a janky whale tour, but take
that,
like,
would
a couple
be a
mushrooms,
good blog.
Chicken Groupon for the soul.
Yeah. Or a podcast. Cut all this. We're going to start a
Groupon. Yeah. Cut the check.
This is now the trailer for our
new
podcast.
Those are still cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I've only seen whales at a distance, but yeah, they're big, I'm told. Is that
huge,
one of the things? Yeah.
Yeah.
Big and peaceful, and
I haven't seen them in
smart
person, so jury's still out for me.
You had a spiritual experience seeing a whale. You didn't go and make a fucking documentary about it like this octopus guy, you know? I mean, you don't have to make a whole hour and a half documentary.
Well, I didn't hang out with the whale for like a year or however long
true.
He was with that octopus.
Well, again, do we know if the octopus was like, dude, you're so clingy, leave me alone?
Yeah, the octopus literally was like, listen, I literally just got one of my arms bitten off. Could you please just leave me alone? I'm like trying to recuperate.
Every time I see you, I'm reminded of it. Yeah.
It's like, he's like, I'm worried that it's my fault that the octopus got attacked, but I'm going to go back just to see.
Right. Yeah. Ask him his opinion on that. Octopuses are aliens, but they're not they're not actual sea life, whereas whales are our cousins. My whale teacher, the sequel coming soon. All right, Paige, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment, but first we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to talk about whether Trump's support is slipping. It seems like it is, actually, based on polling, which has always been able to perfectly read the Trump supporting contingent, but still, I'm hopeful. We'll talk about Tucker Carlson and what his fever brain is having to cycle through to keep the content moving. We'll talk about based Marco Rubio. We'll talk about the return to the workplace that we're all looking forward to, and why it shouldn't happen, why it shouldn't have to happen, at least. We'll talk about Jeff Bezos, the billionaire wars that were, the 80s had the cola wars. We have shitty billionaire space
fighting
race
over the fucking
wars.
Moon.
Fucking aim. We'll talk about whether that HBO Max theatrical release strategy is actually saving movie theaters, the Warner Brothers thing. All of that, plenty more. But first, Paige, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are or where you are or what you're up to?
Okay, so something I searched recently is hummingbird tongue, Did you guys know that hummingbirds have big, long tongues?
Yeah. That's how they get in the nectar.
Shit.
I thought it was a straw situation. I don't know. I thought...
like, I didn't see them carry that with them.
I thought it was just a, like, their beak acts as a suction. But I... So I... Where I'm sitting right now is, like, where I'll sit at my desk. I look out this window, and there's this hummingbird who likes to hang out on the power lines right outside here.
So cool.
I really love that he loves to hang out there. He's so cute. But I took a video... to show others my cute hummingbird friend. Mm-hmm. And I was showing it to my boyfriend, and he was like, "What is that?" He like paused it on a part where the hummingbird was sticking out its tongue, and I was like, "Oh, I think it's just like eating. It's like it has something in its beak. Like, I don't know." And he's like, "I think that's a tongue." And I was like, "Do they have tongues?" And it's a disturbing Google if you're not aware of it already, in my opinion.
They're freaky.
They're freaky. It's like they're as long as their bill. Like they look like so extension. Funny. Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned I was just watching Planet of Color or whatever that new David Attenborough series was last night. And I was watching this hummingbird sequence where like they were mating and this motherfucker's neck like just blew out with all these iridescent feathers. And I was like, look at these fucking show offs with their long tongues and wonderful plumage.
Yeah, hummingbirds are magic. Again, we're becoming a nature podcast.
I know. I'm like, I'm really talking about a lot of animals.
Right. But
because isn't the whole thing like it curls up like half in their head or something? Because like it's so long, like it's almost like tape measure mechanism to be able to contain the tongue.
Yeah, they have that little tab that you can put down to keep it in place.
Is that
place?
What you're claiming is happening, Miles? There's a little tab in there?
Yeah, a little tab. It's, you know, pretty much it's exactly like a tape measure. Any ornithologists out there, get at me.
That freaked me out.
They just seem to be operating at a different, like they interact with time differently than other species. Like they move so fast. I feel like I'm watching something in like The Matrix or something when I look at a hummingbird.
So that's why I'm so tripped out by the fact that this one chooses to hang out like right outside my window. This also does tell you where I'm at, as I'm just often sitting here looking out this window like, ooh, a friend. Oh my gosh, someone wants to hang out.
My favorite stoned activity though is to catch a hummingbird in the wild and be like, yo, get the slow motion camera out. And then you just watch the wings, you're like, yo, they go fast.
Whoa,
and then you
dude.
Realize their metabolisms are like 80 times
they
as
live
fast
like
as ours to move like
3
that.
Years or something. They like can't handle it. They like live fast, die young. That's their whole vibe.
You know, hummingbirds do it well.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you'd have the equivalent if you had like the amount of calories they burn, you'd have to eat something like close to 200,000 calories or something. Like if you were spending the amount of energy relative to your body like that a hummingbird does. Bless them.
There's an Onion headline from 2008. This just made me feel very old because I was like, oh yeah, what was that Onion headline from 13 years ago? That's hummingbird back at feeder again, grandmother reports.
Well, that was the funny thing too, is I my dad is really into having like he's really into they have quail where he lives and they like hang out in the backyard, and he loves to like watch them and feed them. He's like always got to count on how many quail there are. He's like, I think they just had babies. Is really sweet. And he's often had hummingbird feeders. And so I texted him. I was like, I got this hummingbird that hangs out. And his immediate reply was instructions on how I should get a hummingbird feeder. He goes, okay, 2 parts water, 1 part sugar. You'll have them around all the time.
In Costa Rica, there's like a hummingbird like sanctuary where you just like walk in and they're just like all around you.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's wild.
Yeah. But I get freaked out about the idea of putting out a hummingbird feeder, because I've also seen hummingbird feeders where like bees and ants start to hang out.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you're like, this wasn't for you.
This is for the hummingbirds. Okay.
I'm looking at a diagram of what like, you know, a cross section of like how the tongue wraps, and it like goes around its eyeball. It really does look like it's like a tape measure that like wraps around its eyeball.
Yeah, it's like Justin put in the chat. It's fruit by the foot. It's wrapped around.
I should read the chat more often. Justin is
very accurate.
Has dimes that he's dropping that I see after we're done recording.
Yeah, you go, I think something's wrong with the, there's words showing up.
Yeah. Oh, damn it. Not this again.
The ghost's in here again, Sarah.
What is something you think is overrated, Paige?
All right. I'm going to say ice cream. I think it's overrated. Is this are you guys going to be mad at me for saying that?
I don't care, whatever, you know. It's your fucking life. You can do whatever the fuck you want with it. Fuck it.
I just feel like, so like, it's something like 65% of people are lactose intolerant. It's like, and yet there's a new ice cream shop on every corner. Right. And I'm like, how many people are like carving out their days to, as a sacrifice?
Yeah.
For, to the lactose gods?
Yeah. It's like, can we just, I don't know. It's like, I just think it's not worth it. Mm-hmm. And I just think that people get so excited about ice cream
mm-hmm.
when it's like only like 30% of people can eat it and not have diarrhea afterwards.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Everyone has diarrhea who is lactose intolerant that eats it?
Well, there's different variations of how lactose intolerant you could be, but sure. Like there's also like different variations of how much lactose is in different dairy products, and like
sure,
milk
right,
and
right.
ice cream is like the most.
Right. It's like, yeah, you're just sniffing base.
Yeah, right. It's like
you step on this.
You're getting fucked up.
Yeah, like, right.
We're not supposed to eat this.
So I sometimes wonder if like the American diet, like part of it is the diarrhea, like people enjoy getting diarrhea because like the stuff that we really like to go after, you're right. It's that should not be a thing, like something that makes you ill. That people are just like, yeah, but I still do it because it's amazing.
I wonder if that's able to like just sort of proliferate because we're a culture famously that isn't going to bring up our own like perceived deficiencies or inefficiencies. Yeah. So you don't want to be like, y'all, did that pizza give y'all a bunch of diarrhea? Like, you don't want to be that person. So you're like, oh man, yeah, let's get another slice.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, I love pizza, man. Ice cream, cheeseburgers.
It's like pizza is fine because cheese doesn't have that much lactose in it, which
right.
thank God for me, you know, but
right.
it's like when you have too much of it, you know. But yeah,
that's
it's
like,
exactly.
Right.
No one wants to bring up.
I used to date someone who had, what's the really severe gluten allergy? Celiacs?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Celiacs.
Yeah, and like lactose intolerance. And she would eat pizza all the time.
Yeah.
And it was like that bit we were just doing where it was like, oh, I love it though, but like... Ugh!
Has to eat it actively on the toilet. Yeah.
It just takes planning, I feel like, is the only thing.
Yeah,
you just have
and there's
to, like,
lactate
right.
and stuff like that.
No, but this was a thing where eventually I was like, oh no, like you have some weird relationship with
yeah.
this
right.
pizza that
yeah.
you aren't like, because it's like, oh, let's get this hot and ready pizza. And I'm like, great, we'll take it to the house. Like, no, let's go to Providence Hospital and eat it in the emergency drop off just in case.
But you know what? That's another overrated thing is lactate. I feel like, okay, it's very rare. And of course, it happens to me. I've tried lactate. It makes mm-hmm. me violently ill. Like it.
Oh, lactate no. does?
Yes. Like yeah. I had it. I had started trying to use it when I had like dairy stuff. And it was fine like a couple times. And then one time I got sick and I was like, oh, I didn't put it together. And yeah. then it happened again. And I started Googling it. And it's like, there's all these message boards online of angry mothers. Like, I gave this to my son so that he could have ice cream with us. And he was very sick. And lactate doesn't put that shit on their labels. Because I guess it's like maybe rare enough that they don't feel like legally they have to put it on there or something. But like...
Huh.
I was like, oh, of course, the one, like, the, like, miracle thing that people take where they're like, actually, I can have whatever I want, like, doesn't work for me.
Ugh.
Yeah.
I take a long, hard look in the mirror, figure out why that's your karma.
No, right.
It's supposed to work for everyone, except demons. Says it right there on the box.
Except me and some kids on right. message boards.
Wait, is there a treat that you like that you think is worth the burn?
Well, so like I was saying, it's like if you have a lot of cheese, you can
right.
have an issue. So sometimes
yeah,
yeah. I'll be like, yeah, you know what? I am going to have a bunch of mac and cheese right now and I'll just suffer the
yeah.
consequences.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
sounds
know, that kind of thing.
Sounds like you're more of a savory person than a sweet person, maybe.
No, honestly,
okay.
no.
Okay.
I mean, I'll do. I just my move is I love Froyo, which.
Okay.
I never really have an issue with.
That's how you sidestep it, right?
That's how, yeah, yeah. That's. I mean, whenever I get sick from froyo, it's because of the candy I put on it, not because,
right, right.
Not because of the lactose enzymes or whatever.
Right. Because they don't clean the nozzle from the machine.
Right. Well, and they're all just like sitting there in like a mixed nuts bowl. Like it's probably as clean as like the mixed nuts at a bar. But we're just like, yeah, but this place is bright and everything yeah, is yeah. white. So it's probably fine.
What I mean, what is a pink berry even? I don't even know.
I don't know.
I like it. I like the idea.
Yeah. And they make yeah. those little like caviar fish egg type
oh yeah, those little boba pearls. Yeah, little flavor pearls. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at Pink Berry, I like the little like round chocolate crunch things, and I never yeah. have learned the name of them, and I always just say to the person the chocolate ball things, and then yeah. they go the wet ones or the dry ones.
They don't have a
oh those
vocabulary
are
for it either.
Because there's the ones Pink Berry people know what I'm talking about. Those yeah. the wet ones and there's the dry ones.
Right.
Mm-hmm. What is something you think is underrated?
All right, I was just staying on food. Mm-hmm. And we were talking pizza. I'm going to say mushrooms as a pizza topping.
Okay. That's, I don't feel I'm like... fully with you there.
Thank you.
It's tough when they use canned mushrooms.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, that's, I think, the times I'm like, ugh, no.
Yeah.
You know, like I mean, you want the real, you want fresh mushrooms, not canned sometimes. Or like that's the time I found myself being like, holy shit, this is really good.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's like bad other toppings too, though, you know? I just feel like it's weird to me that mushrooms, I feel like mushrooms aren't one of the like toppings we add. Like if a group was getting pizza, no one would like be like, of
right.
the like no one would suggest it as like a sort of base level topping.
Right.
It's like, I feel like Hawaiian pizza has like more cred than mushroom pizza.
No, then don't do that. Don't do that around me. Don't do that around me.
Oh, I don't like it. But
I know. I'm just letting anyone know. If you have a parasocial relationship with me, know that. Don't do that around me. Okay. We yeah. have pizza parties in our minds. I'm not having that.
Mm. Yeah. I just think, I don't know. Mushrooms are my favorite pizza topping. And...
yeah, because it's not like, I think it's weird because we almost, in my mind as a kid, I always thought of mushrooms as a thing that was on the parents' pizza.
Yeah.
They got the mushrooms. We got right. straight cheese and yeah. pepperoni and shit. But I wonder, I think it's like we have to mature to this point where it has to be considered a normal first item to throw out. When people, what do we want to put on this thing? And you can say yeah. mushroom and we know and we don't say what the fuck?
It's mushrooms? Vegetarian. Like, come on.
Yeah. yeah. Huh.
I'm just not sure.
That. I'm going to take a long hard look in the mirror on that one.
Are you a mushroom pizza person, Miles?
I like mushrooms on pizza. Like if I'm at a nice spot and like they have like a thing with like porcini mushroom, you know, like fresh mushrooms and shit. I like that. Yeah.
yeah.
I think because my earliest memories go back to canned mushrooms that just contributed to like soggy pizza
Ugh.
That I just did not. I was like, this is fucking weird, y'all. Like, I don't know why y'all are eating this shit.
They don't ask you if you want the dry ones or the wet ones.
You want the dry or the wet.
I mean, this.
What?
Yeah. Mushrooms are the one thing that I will always have on every pizza that I order if it's for myself and nobody else. Like,
Me
I'll
too.
Have. Mushrooms and green peppers, mushrooms and pepperoni, like it can be any of those, but mushrooms have to be there.
I agree. Yeah. Although I'm not into like the like, you know, like Costco, you get the like sort of everything pizza.
Ooh.
I go, we don't need all this. The mushrooms yeah. are doing enough work here that we don't need the peppers and the olives. We can have them, but I feel like they're hiding the mushroom. They're trying to trick us.
Right. This sounds like a Mitch Hedberg bit.
Right.
You don't need all these toppings.
Nice try, assholes.
Yeah. The mushrooms yeah. are doing enough work.
You got a lot of shit on your pizza, you know? A lot of pizza accessories.
I'll own up to being a bad father. We order Domino's almost every weekend, and my kid's order is pepperoni and pineapple, and I get like green peppers, onions, bacon, sausage, mushrooms, and they threw fucking pineapple on my pizza the other day. Like it like there was crossfire or something, and they accidentally hit the pineapple on my shit. I was like, what?
That's
like, you can't
tough.
Yeah, pineapple is a very specific topping. Like you can't yeah. just assume people want that.
You're
shit
throwing
on there, like,
candy
supreme.
On a fucking pizza.
Right. Right.
It's so sweet. It's not like you're, I mean, look, if you're somewhere and you're like, hey, actually, we use like sort of like less than ripe pineapple so you get a nice texture, but all this sweet, because everyone's using canned pineapple just right. sitting in sugar.
Yeah.
So I'm like, this is not it for me right. at all. I'm real picky about the sweet on top of the savory shit. It yeah, has to work too. Well.
It would seep like into the cheese, I feel, because they're like canned, they're in that liquid to right. have them on top of your pizza. And it's also, it's very sad to have to pick a topping off pizza. You feel very sad.
You feel like a failure.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't
like, I feel
it.
Not
I,
brave.
I just took it down and it was actually fine. But it's still like the idea that you would add pineapple like it's just another topping is...
No. You got to be sure that someone yeah. wants it.
Yes.
Thank yeah. you. For sure. And look, for those of you who like pineapple on your pizza, fine. Go ahead.
God bless.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just don't force your pineapple on me. Okay? Yeah. I don't want candy pizza. That's just yeah. how I feel. And that's not shade of chew. For me, I just don't like candy. Okay? And yeah. you do. And that's okay.
Yeah. But this is now... Like,
very diplomatic.
Yep. Just got to let them know. Because this is such a weird thing. Like, you see, like, the memes around pineapple on pizza culture. You know what I mean? Like, it's like a real thing that I think we talk about through memes and shit about like whether or not you have pineapple on your pizza and shit like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I just like to let it know I'm not a hater of
yeah.
the people.
Yeah.
It's also the topic.
Tough to bring up for overrated and underrated food stuff because obviously it's like maybe some people just don't like mushrooms, but I do feel like a lot of people have a negative idea of mushrooms because of like mushroom soup or like canned mushrooms, which are yeah. gross.
Yeah.
But like there's a ton of different types of mushrooms and often the mushrooms on pizza are delicious.
And some of them are literally magical. So, okay. So now
yeah. yeah. The pineapple actually, now I'm going to go back on what I said and say that like, I didn't pick the pineapple off. I ate it. And it was actually fine. And I think that pineapple blends well with better than you would expect with tomato.
Hold on. Why are you wearing that Dole hat?
I'm just saying like it's an underrated, like it could be a staple food. Like a lot of people think like you can like have bread sandwiches, but you can't have pineapple sandwiches. But like you can use pineapple Jeez. For anything, really.
I mean, we should look into this as an energy source. Anyway, I think the people at United Fruit were really misunderstood in the
yes,
second half
you.
Of the 20th century.
The only king of Hawaii in the modern, like, while Hawaii was a state or maybe a president. The only president of Hawaii ever was a Dole. I just read that somewhere. I was like, oh, my God.
Wow.
What an awful family. Anyways.
Bob Dole. Piece of shit, huh?
Yeah, am I right? All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Zyte gang, customers are rushing to your store, but do you have a point of sale system you can trust or is it, you know, like a literal POS? Well, you need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into one source of truth. Connect with customers in line and online. Look, you want to use TikTok? Well, guess what? They have plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns on platforms just like that. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Now, I was looking at Shopify.com, and I'm trying to get some answers. Let's say, you know, I had a bustling retail business, and I need, you know, maybe some hardware to be able to sell my wares on the street, take credit card payments, whatever. And I know Shopify is easy to use. Half the time I buy something online, I'm like, oh, yep, they're using Shopify. And if you need to learn more, check out their website. It's super easy to navigate, whether you have questions about how you can optimize your inventory or, again, looking for hardware to make sales easier. Shopify.com has all of that. Just go there. Check it out. So sign up for a $1 per month trial period at Shopify.com/TDZ, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/TDZ to take your retail business to the next level today. Shopify.com/TDZ.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zyte Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump,
Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.
And we're back, and let's do a quick, you hate to see it, rundown. Trump support might be slipping a little bit, just a tiny bit. People forgetting who he is.
Yeah, I mean,
that's all it takes, turns out.
It says right now, this recent poll is showing that 44% of Republicans saying that they support, they're saying president over party. They're like, fuck, I'm Trump all day. That's 44% of Republicans.
Too much.
That compares to right now, 50% of the party right now is saying, no, we fuck with the party more than the president, which is the first time since July of 2019 when party support outnumbered Trump support. So, you know, interesting shift. I don't know if it's that groundbreaking more so than I think it's just sort of this idea of out of sight, out of mind that because he's just not on Twitter being able to fire off shit takes and, you know, Fox and a lot of the networks are sort of like trying to figure out what to do with him because now he's just literally just some fucking guy and he's not the president anymore. It's less, I think, maybe ratings worthy to let him rant for 40 minutes straight.
Yeah, the whole... It reminds me of the like how cult leaders want to get you into a isolated location because they know like just fully occupying like all your time and energy and attention, like that's the only way to do it. And once that spell is broken, like once if you're just in a urban area and like see people walking by on the street, like that's enough to break the spell. I feel like we're kind of going through a similar thing as a nation where it's just like, wait, what the fuck was we were doing? What? We were paying how much attention to this motherfucker?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. That his banning of from Twitter has been like such a sea change for like so many people, I feel like.
Yeah.
Yes, he's got his email list now is how he's communicating with people, or he's just emailing people his tweets, his thoughts.
Right.
Yeah.
And just being like, you better give me money. Or else I'm going to think you've abandoned me. Right. It's like, holy shit. Bro. Like, this ain't raising money? What the fuck are you doing?
Yeah, man. Ugh. Well, yeah, it's like in theory, this feels like good-ish news, but I don't know how true it is or what it really means, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure he'll read this, and then the second it comes down to him wanting to assume his kingmaker role again within the party... he's going to start getting real loud and what, I don't know, but we'll see. I think at the very least it does show though, like, cause now the support for like, you know, Biden's handling of the pandemic essentially based on the numbers would also include Republicans.
Right.
That there are some people who are like, I think the 50% people being like, well, what about the party? Because this guy, whatever we like when we were secret racists.
Right.
Which might be what's happening.
Yeah.
Secret racist.
It was wild. Comedy Bang Bang, which I don't know how many of our listeners listen to that show, but it's a comedy podcast where like people come on and play characters. And this week they had somebody on who was doing a Trump impression. And it James? Was like, what's that?
James Austin Johnson?
It might have been.
Or a Tamanik.
It wasn't a Tamanik, I don't think. But
I think it was James.
It was really funny, and it like didn't, I don't know, it seemed like, wow, this feels like we're like years away from when like it would have been too soon or something. It just felt like he was just approximating all of the sort of vocalizations and like stupid like leaps of logic and shit, but it wasn't I don't know, it was just weird to me that like they were able to have somebody on and do that, and it wasn't like, I mean, I'm sure there's probably reasons that we shouldn't already be like, that's hilarious, but
right,
yeah,
the performance was just so good that it like didn't bother me.
I haven't heard him on Comedy Bang Bang, but I mean, his whole thing, and it really like started getting steam like in the last year or so, is he does these videos where he's doing an impression of Trump, but he'll be talking about like Pokemon or like something totally nothing to do with anything that Trump actually talks about, but he'll so match the way that Trump thinks.
Yeah. That's
that you can't look away. He does this one where it was like he did a video that was my favorite, where it was based on like that one interview where Trump like got up and walked away, and it's just James talking about Gilmore Girls,
right?
And he's like, because Jess is a pre-Luke and Logan is a pre-Chris. Like, it's James is awesome. He's a friend of mine.
yeah, that's who it was. James Austin Johnson.
Yeah.
Also, Langston Kerman was on there. Wonderful. It was a great episode. And that's what we're here to do, is get people interested in Comedy Bang Bang.
Other podcasts.
That is. So I've seen those videos, and that is like, he totally nails all of the non-political. Like, it's just, he has like that complete lack of logic that like Trump uses. Like, it's just constantly claiming that he's good friends with like,
he's just mastered the jazz.
Everything. Yeah, exactly. He has mastered the jazz.
It's truly like how Trump would be. You just put a topic and it's just going to use the same garbled logic to try and like figure out how you're going to be like the authority on this topic.
Yeah, that's right.
Yep.
Anyways, fuck that guy. Donald Trump in particular.
Yeah.
Fucking James too, man. Come on, bro.
Fuck James, dude.
You're doing it too good, man. You're keeping him alive with that shit.
James does some other impressions as well.
He does Mike Lindell, the My Pillow guy.
Let's talk Tucker. Tucker Carlson.
Yep.
What's he reaching for these days?
I mean, just again, there's so many real things to talk about, but right now Republicans have to find anything but the actual things to talk about. So right now, because our president, Joey Badass, is out here saying like, we're relaxing the mask fucking protocols. You don't have to wear it if you're vaxxed and outdoors unless you're in a crowd and all this stuff. Because that's been a huge thing of being like, where are we at with masks outdoors? What are you saying to do? What are you saying not to do? So Tucker Carlson spent so much time about this idea of masks as a few different things. First, he was likening it to child abuse, where he is like, as for forcing children to wear masks outside, that should be illegal. Because he's going on this whole thing about how it's like part of your mental obedience to like the party. So it's like wearing a Kim Jong-un pin or something in North Korea. That's what you do to wear your mask, to show fealty, to demonstrate fealty. And so he's just talking about like, if you see someone like a child wearing a mask, like it should be no different than what your response would be if you see someone beating a child in a Walmart. Call the police, is what he says.
How is it hurting the child? Does he have a read on that?
Well, what you're looking at is abuse. It's child. This quote: what you're looking at is abuse. It's child abuse, and you are morally obligated to attempt to prevent it. If it's your own children being abused, then act accordingly. Which I will play you this clip, because he starts talking about like, what to do if let's say it was your kid.
And you are morally obligated to attempt to prevent it. If it's your own children being abused, then act accordingly. Let's say your kid's school emailed you to announce that every day after lunch, your sixth grader was going to get punched in the face by a teacher. How would you respond to that? That's precisely how you should respond when they tell you that your kids have to wear masks on the soccer field. That is unacceptable, dangerous, and we should act like it because
how
it is.
How is it dangerous?
Because he says, like, they're zealots, only zealots wear masks. Then he had this other thing. He's like, 64% of white liberals have been diagnosed with some kind of mental health issue. And so that's why they wear masks.
He calls them neurotics.
Yeah, neurotics wear them. It's like this whole, it's just so all over the place. It's truly, you're like, I don't even know. Like, that's a jump, right? To say, right.
Yeah.
They're punching your kid in the face.
No, every time Tucker Carlson speaks, it's like when somebody, like, you know, in like your class in high school when you were like assigned what side you have to be on for a topic. And it's just like he like didn't do the work. He's just like really trying to like hustle on this side that like doesn't make any sense. And he just is like saying insane shit. Like he was talking earlier. I watched the clip that you guys had in this doc about like, he's like, if you see someone wearing a mask, stop them and say, please take off your mask. You're making me uncomfortable.
So's your MAGA hat.
Yeah.
So fucking
we'll just
nice,
be on our
dude.
Way, huh? You're a piece of shit and I believe in science. All right. See you later.
It's like, right. It's like, yeah, you're making me uncomfortable as well. Like, what?
Again, it's just all this weird way to try and he's trying to create more outrage among the base to be more confrontational in public. Like, it's so transparently clear that this is meant to whip them into a frenzy, just get everybody so excited about this idea of masks that all he can do is be like, they're punching your kids in the face. They're zealots. What's going on? You better tell them to not wear a mask. Like, the outrage is really, it's wearing thin. And you know what's wild? It got fucking weirder in the episode. In terms of what he's likening to mask wearing, he had a guest on, I don't know. It was actually fucking Matt Walsh. And they were talking about
from
like
UCB.
Yeah, Matt Walsh. Damn. He's the big one of the four. He's out here. But again, talking about what it means to be a man wearing a mask.
Uh huh.
You know, I had the same experience you're talking about. I was in Austin a few days ago, and I'm walking outside without a mask on, and people are staring at me like I'm the crazy one for not having a mask on. Meanwhile, if you're walking outside with a mask on, I should be looking at you, and I do look at you like I would look at a grown man hugging a teddy bear and having a pacifier in his mouth while he's walking down the street. This is your security blanket. There's no reason for you to have it on. You're just afraid. You're afraid of fresh air. That's what's happening. People are afraid to breathe air, and we're making it so that kids are afraid of air too, and that's insane to me.
I agree with you completely. I would even actually up the analogy and say a vaccinated person, someone with antibodies wearing a mask outside is like watching a grown man expose himself in public. That's disgusting. Put it away, please.
Okay.
What the fuck are you talking
about? What does that even mean? This is like the same shit. It's like, this has nothing to do with you. This has actually nothing to do with you. If you want to be the freaky piece of shit who alienates themselves because they don't want to wear a mask to consider others, then so be it. But someone else wearing it has a fuck all to do with these people. But like, that's why it's so bizarre that like Tucker's like, yeah, I mean, you're basically like you're gay if you wear a mask, dude. Like, what are you going to be, like a fucking little boy with a baby? Fucking like, what are you going to do? Take your penis out?
But he's what? Like, his sense of the world is so like just dominated by misogyny and white supremacy, like because guys running around exposing themselves is a crime that is like only perpetuated by like middle-aged white guys like him. He is like, he's like that I feel like he can't think of that as being a like that bad a thing. So he's like, I mean, it's the same thing basically, because I personally think it's weird. And so that's
anything I think is weird is the same across
right,
the
is
board.
The same as sexual assault, basically.
It's like hanging brain in public.
It's also like, were people looking at you, or were you like mad dogging people who were wearing masks and then they look back at you like, why are you looking at me?
Yes,
these
and
people. Yeah.
That's like, nobody gives a shit about you, asshole. Yeah.
so thirsty to be able to turn your fucking cell phone on and record your stupid rhetorical martyrdom video where you're like, and I actually I'm wearing it because I believe in science. Actually, it's all of you all in here who are afraid of air. No right. one fucking said that.
I just want to say I am afraid of air, though, just to be clear. I'm scared.
And I am a neurotic.
And I am neurotic.
Neurotic to the bone, no doubt about it. You know what I mean?
Sometimes I do give myself the creeps.
Yeah.
Just and continuing the lyrics. Okay.
Sometimes I like to kiss Fauci.
The only
safe person to kiss, by the way.
He calls him Tony. He's like, Tony Fauci. It's like, you don't know him.
Yeah.
Don't call him Tony.
It's like when he talks about his friend Antonio Banderas as Tony Flags.
Tony Flags is the real thing. The best nickname.
We're close, so.
All right, let's talk about Marco Rubio, the other... We might as well just get through all of the shit that is happening in the soul.
Mental inversions.
The tortured soul of the Republicans right now. So Marco Rubio is pissed at corporations.
Mm-hmm.
And to the point that he's like basically threatening to become a socialist. Is that basically where we're
dude,
at?
Dude, based Rubio, dude, comrade Rubio, hold it down. Fucking throw down the gauntlet for these corporations, please, vis-a-vis your op-ed that you wrote. He's got this whole thing in the New York Post. Where
all my favorite op-eds are.
Yeah, exactly. That's when you know it's some real next level analysis coming through from a racist. And they can't believe, like, his whole thing is like, these corporate monsters we fed for so long, why are they going to pivot to, like, woke stuff and do things like act in their own self-interest because they're reading the tone of society? Right. What's happening? So this is what he says. He wrote this op-ed in the beginning. This is just like sort of in the middle. He said, quote, to help our corporations fulfill their patriotic role, the GOP especially enacted business-friendly policies. We kept tax rates low, slashed red tape where appropriate, and limited the reach of labor unions. But somewhere along the line, corporations began prioritizing short-term financial windfalls and ruthless offshoring.
Yes.
Yeah, wow. Okay,
yeah,
interesting.
Very true. Damn,
that's true.
Damn,
hold
son.
On, go on. And you did
those?
Do all that. You have been limiting the ability of labor to organize. Go on, sir. He says, quote, corporate America began to view these good jobs, families, communities, and even the nation as an afterthought. American workers of all backgrounds suffered as a result. Corporate greed annihilated an entire way of life.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, so you were aware of all that? And you were still doing this shit? Like, it's all like the quid pro quo that he, outlines here is way too honest. He's like, yeah, we were helping y'all out so you would keep us in power and you were annihilating the American families and we were fucking cool with that. But
now you're gonna be on fucking Meghan Markle's side? Oh, what is this? Like, it's so dumb because it's all just about the fact that they don't, that because anyway, let's keep going because he's like, because I'll do something about it.
Yeah.
This is what he's going to do. Quote, cutting corporate taxes and especially investment taxes makes sense if U.S. companies are going to invest in American industry. But if they're instead prioritizing offshoring operations or simply returning windfalls to shareholders, then policymakers are going to start being more careful in how we structure tax cuts. Uh-oh, what? Go on,
he's like,
Marco.
I'm going to tell the fucking truth if you don't start backing us in these fucking political
you better defend
wars.
De facto white supremacy, you right. fucks. So then he goes on. So first he's saying, I'll get rid of your tax cuts. Next, employer-friendly labor laws make sense in a world where corporate CEOs feel an obligation to their fellow countrymen and workers. But the logic of resisting labor representation on behalf of corporate management falls apart if an American worker is no different to the corporation than any other input. Wow.
Yeah, so man.
You will cut these tax breaks and make it easier for labor to get organized? Thank you, Marco. What?
What does he start talking about the wokeness? Like, is that the beginning of the article or where does this come from?
I mean, this is, in the beginning, he's just sort of talking about all the things that's happening with Georgia and like companies just starting to like speak up about societal issues. When they're like, who did you guys used to do this? Like, what is this now?
Right.
And it's I think this is the problem they're finding themselves in. They're so confused and they don't realize the absurdity of their ideology, which is so, it's so regressive that right. you're not going to go anywhere except backwards and eventually hit a wall because you're burning up any chance you have of any kind of forward movement. So yeah, you're someone like Marco Rubio, you're like, you have to be against all this wokeness from these companies. But since you've been on the side of corporate profiteering, your only pivot can only lead to progressive policy. Like, damn, that's the son. Only thing. And so, you know what? Congratulations.
Yeah.
You won an iPod.
Wow.
Wow. I have a headache from this essay by Marco Rubio.
Like, they don't, I don't know. It's just,
so many
but
different
I guess,
directions.
Like, he's just, yeah, blunt to them for being like blunt to yeah. the companies. Like, we'll get rid of your tax breaks and we'll let people get. You want organized labor? It's like, yeah, the people do actually. It shows that people have better outcomes when they're unionized in every yeah. industry. But then
the stuff
like,
he's,
okay, I'll do
the
it.
Stuff he's like saying, if you do this, that's stuff they've already been doing for 20 years that you're talking about, like offshoring all your profits and treating the workers like shit. Like what the only, like it has nothing to do with whatever fucking wokeness he's objecting to. So he's just basically describing like the state of the American worker and like corporate America right.
yeah.
and then being like, and that's I'll describe it out so. Loud again if you keep criticizing us.
Yeah, even the company's like, yo, shut up, dude. Like,
right.
I mean, like, we get what you're saying, but like, do you hear yourself?
I feel like this started as an email, a private email, and he's yeah. like, you know what? This makes a lot of sense. I'm gonna turn yeah. it into an op-ed. Because, yeah, the shit yeah. he's saying, like, that logic works in an email where it's, like, between donors and politicians who are like, look, we let you fuck people over, and in return, you fuck people over in the specific way we're describing. But, yeah, that's wild, man.
Yeah.
There, you love to see it. This has been another segment of You Hate to See It. Where we check in with the Republicans.
With the based Republican.
Yeah. all right, let's take another quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4. Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes. Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
And we're back. And speaking of back, it's almost back to work time, folks. Time to get the lunch pail and get back to the office.
Hard at work or hardly working?
Am I right?
Laughing. Fucking those SICE videos.
So a lot of like corporate America is, you know, very carefully planning the return to the office. And yeah, I just want to, so Miles, you kind of linked off to this article that makes sense. I want to read from the CNBC article though, because they are describing like the thoughts among business leaders.
Okay.
They set it up at like with all the information that is true. They say even within the same industries, there will be different approaches to return to work plans, which also gives employees more opportunities to find a job that fits their preferred lifestyle. The majority, or 58% of employees, said they would look for a new position if they weren't allowed to continue working remotely in their current position. We've also talked about how people get more work done when they're working from home. And then the second to last paragraph of this article, ultimately, however, quote, nothing will change, said Peter Capelli, director of the Center of Human Resources at the University of Pennsylvania's Wharton School. Employers have virtually unlimited power. And he's basically like, this time next year, it'll be just like pre-pandemic and done.
Oh, is that what you think?
Yeah.
Mr. HR, Mr. I'm the cops at your company. HR
I'm
is
the
cops.
Cops of cops? Yeah.
Oh, HR, I'm here to fuck you up if you try and make it spicy for the employer. But I will smile and act like I'm advocating for you. Hi, have you been? I'm welcome to Human Resources.
A year, this is the exact quote that is the last sentence of the article. A year from now, will things look much different than they did before the pandemic? I don't think so. Again, a quote from Peter Capelli, director of Center for Human Resources.
Wow. Well, maybe I'm interesting. Maybe you should ask what's happening with workers.
Right.
They're thinking, because you're looking up the C-suite's butt and you're like, what's going on here? Nothing? Great. Back to work.
Looks good.
Perfect. There's this thing called the Survey of Working Arrangements and Attitudes, like this research working paper that's out. And they're looking at all kinds of data points and just analysis and questioning that they've done over the last year. And essentially, like, this whole thing is boiling down to them saying people whose jobs are like don't explicitly require their presence physically really want to continue to work at home, at least some of the time. And most people, over 50%, would take a pay cut to do so, which is wild. Like, that's the tone of a lot of people. I think the sort of that slight sense of freedom or being unburdened by the commute has done for people, being like, oh yeah, fuck that. Like, especially now in a world where efficiency has been proven, it's hard to go back on that. So the other thing is they say that right now, a lot of the employers want people to, like, they're willing to compromise and say, like, okay, maybe you come in 3 times a week and then you take the other two, or you get 1 day a week or whatever, you can work from home. But what they're looking at isn't that it's going to be virtually back to normal. They think it's going, the amount of work done remotely will be about 20% of what is happening right now, which is going to be a huge boost, considering that pre-pandemic remote work was like 5%. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that like every white collar job simultaneously went remote. So it didn't create, like, everyone just realized, oh yeah, shit's still working. And then this like idea that working from home is like some kind of fucking 80s comedy film where a guy, like, when he figured out the sweet deal to work from home, like, Randy had the summer of his life. Like, no. Fucking motherfuckers working.
Oh man, Randy. I mean, there is literally a Folgers commercial, I think, where the guy's camera like drops down and you see that he's only wearing undies with his suit. And I get all my cultural takes from Folgers commercials. So.
On top of that, it's going to affect like downtown areas too. The other thing they're predicting is consumer spending could fall by 13% in Manhattan and 4.6% in San Francisco, because a lot of, especially in those cities, those companies, some places have been like, yo, we just sold all of our office space because we realized we can save money not paying for a fucking physical building anymore, or at least as less of a footprint, and have, you know, this the same output, the same right. fucking revenues being generated.
But I mean, those places will move to where the people are. Like, they'll eventually change so that, you know, they're serving salads that are takeout instead of like salads that you have to like line up at the salad bar to order. So like, I feel like this is more of a problem for like the landlords and the property owners of lower Manhattan, who have a harder time like feeling a lot of sympathy for. It's not gonna, like, the wage workers will still be able to like find jobs. They'll just be over in Brooklyn where people live instead of the financial district, or, you know.
Yeah, I think that's going to be a huge shift, or like people even think of like what are downtowns going to look like if we are working more remotely.
Yeah.
Yeah. Regardless, I mean, it seems just absolutely bizarre to say that things will just be the same as before. What?
Says violent capitalist teacher.
What?
Peter Capelli.
At least a little bit different, buddy.
Right. Like, no, right back to normal. Back to normal, folks.
Everything's
right back to
fine.
Normal, right?
Don't worry.
Because, I mean, all he's doing, like, somebody who works at Wharton, like, they're only talking to, like, the Wharton grads who fucking, like, run the companies. And probably not even the ones, because, like, just from a business perspective, like the shareholder level and the like CEO level, like it doesn't make sense to like continue to pay rent on some, like, no. Maybe in the short term because you're like locked into a lease. But like in the long run, you're paying rent on real estate that you're like making people come in. They don't want to be there. So you're having to either pay them more to keep them away from like other employers, and you're also getting less work from them because people are more efficient when working from home, according to like a number of surveys. So
yeah, they're probably just worried about, they're like, well, what if, where am I now on Friday is gonna like start offering people alcohol like it's fun to be here, and right. be like, Friday company culture, right. come on guys, you all like me, right? You know,
come,
and they're
to
probably,
the office, I mean, because I can't sexually harass my wife at home. Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, that people, like, what do you want to go back to the office for? I would, if you're a shareholder, you'd be like, yo, look, I'm looking at the fucking, you know, the statements here. If you kicked rent in its ass and just nicked this shit right out,
right,
you'd have, look, then that's like the kind of shit that these CEOs pat themselves on the back for and then cut themselves a bonus, because normally right. it's just like, oh yeah, we cut down people's 401k contributions, fucking suckers.
Yeah, so we could buy a bunch of Razor scooters for the office. Right. So everyone could say they like being at work.
We got one right. orange couch, which officially makes it a fun workplace.
Yeah, we actually let people, if they don't want to, they don't have to sit at their desk. They can sit on an uncomfortable beanbag chair.
Yeah, exactly. That you can just compress your discs and you'll get herniated disc. But also, just so you know, there is a stipulation in your insurance that we don't cover any back injuries. Okay.
Also, a huge portion of us abusing our employees is that we say that we're like a family here. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be tough to claim we're like a family if we never see each other.
I mean, most people come from fucked up families. So yeah. Like, that kind of tracks. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, yeah, my dad did lie to me. Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Anyways, Peter Capelli, let's keep up with him. I told myself I was going to keep up with the libertarians who were like, this COVID thing is no big deal. And I never did. And this is probably another person who I'm just going to forget had this terrible take. But
they're all just trying to figure out what to do right now anyway.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Fuck. I'm going to move to Bolivia.
Let's talk about Bezos v. Elon.
Oh, my God.
The fact that I'm so upset. Like, I've talked about my disgust with America's, like, crush on Elon Musk for a long time, and now, like, he's, because he has like managed to make himself the like opponent of Jeff Bezos, who is like very not cool, people are like, Elon Musk's actually kind of cool, to the point that he's now going to be hosting SNL. And he's getting off tasty one-liners like Bezos can't get it up. I'm talking, of course, about his rockets. But
oh, boy. Yeah, I don't know. I feel bad for all that SNL staff. They're like, why is this dude coming on?
Yeah.
They're like, we don't. Anyway. Because, yeah, he's the sickest baller, Tony Stark, the realest thing we've got to that. But the two billionaires in various states of baldness denial are now arguing about going to the moon.
Yeah.
Because SpaceX got this sweet, sweet NASA contract for almost $3 billion to create the next lunar lander. And Bezos and his Blue Origin company also has something to say about that, along with other companies like Northrop Grumman, just fantastic war machine makers, and Lockheed Martin. They're all crying right now about this. But this is from Blue Origin, Bezos' company, saying, quote, NASA has executed a flawed acquisition for the Human Landing System program and moved the goalposts at the last minute. In NASA's own words, it has made a, quote, high-risk selection. Their decision eliminates opportunities for competition. Significantly narrows the supply base and not only delays, but also endangers America's return to the moon. Uh-huh. I mean, I'll agree that, yeah, those SpaceX rockets have been blowing up a lot more than maybe people would like, to the point that the FAA had to get involved because they're like, we're not going to have you like explode shit above like where people live and put people at risk here. So I don't know.
Don't they have like some civilians who are currently training to go? Is that a SpaceX rocket who are like they're going to send some civilians into space for the first time since the Challenger, which was not, if memory serves, was not a huge success? Like that feels, I don't know. I don't feel great about SpaceX being in charge of that, especially since over the weekend they kind of got swept under the rug, but like they almost crashed into a UFO, like a thing that nobody has identified yet, was flying through the air, and they had to, like, as these astronauts were ascending into space, they had to like do an emergency. It was too late to do a evasive maneuver, so they had to like put all the astronauts had to like inflate or do something to their anti like crash suits, basically. But then they
They just like lean to one side of the ship.
Exactly. That's a very extreme version of that fucker came out of nowhere. It's like, we don't even know what it really did.
Rick,
we don't know what
doing?
It was.
I was watching.
Right.
Jesus.
Fuck. Yeah, I don't know. That's very fucking freaky. Also, like, yeah, that would be how we kick off some fucking space war.
Right.
This motherfucker sent a rocket
fender
up
bender.
And then killed their like fucking leader and shit. They're like, oh, it's on now, motherfuckers. And then
probably
we'll
just one of these drones that that have technology we just don't know about yet.
Right. Mm. But it's also like really something because Elon Musk, when like they asked about, you know, these rockets, they're like, you know, their explosions don't seem like successes, but yet you congratulate the teams and things like that. And yes, a ton of engineering goes into it. So to a certain extent, yes, it is.
I want to root for these things. I don't want to have to fucking cheer for Elon Musk.
Then,
there's so many like smart, creative geniuses working on this. I want to root for them. But like, I don't want Elon Musk to be the mouthpiece of all those people.
Yeah. How about the fucking people who work on it? But the other thing is that he would respond to shit like that to be like, it's meant to explode. Quite frankly, this is a quote. He said like something like, quite frankly, something would be wrong if it didn't. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I get that.
That's the sort of logic you want in charge of a bunch of civilians you're flying into space, is somebody who's like, no, actually, I meant to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And it was actually kind of sick. Like, you have to admit it looked cool. So, and also,
wait, I have to admit shit.
After his rocket has a near miss with UFO, being like, dude, if there were aliens, I'd know about it. That was his response to somebody being like, a lot of UFOs out there. What are your thoughts? If there were aliens, dude, your boy Elon would know. I'd be the first one they'd talk to because I fucking rule.
Yeah, you rule so much. What happened to the fucking Hyperloop, you dick?
Yeah.
What about all that fucking that tunnel? It's just a fucking, you're going to get to fucking San Francisco in 3 seconds. Not this bullshit. All the fucking, there's so many Tesla recalls. There's a lot of shit that he has to deal with all the time. But I get it when you just sort of distill your whole personality to being like on Twitter, smoking blunts, making rap music and saying like,
right,
you know, fucking Dogecoin moon, like, cool. But there's other shit. Didn't somebody die over the weekend in an autopilot accident?
I read something about somebody, like they discovered that there was no one at the wheel of the car, which I'm pretty sure is not
how. It was in
how.
Houston. That's, yeah, it's like, don't do that.
That's not but how I think, those are supposed to be used.
But I think that's the sort of hubris that will be instilled by being a Elon Musk stan. Is you're going to be like, yo, dude, I trust this shit. Hop in the back. We'll just treat this robot like our designated driver. And now the outcome isn't optimal.
Well, I can't wait for 10 years from now when people no longer give a fuck enough and are willing to tell the true story behind Elon Musk's week as the host of SNL. Like the stories when Steven Seagal hosted SNL and people were like, he was a monster. Those stories, if you haven't read those, they are in, I'm sure they're like somewhere online, but they were in that oral history of SNL and whoo.
Yikes.
Yeah. All right. What, one last thing I just wanted to check in with. Warner Brothers. I just want to give big ups to Warner Brothers. no, this
to your
just,
bros?
To my bros at Warner. So Scott Mendelson, one of my favorite people who writes about the film industry, is pointing out that the only thing that is really keeping hopes alive that people might return to theaters are those like HBO Max Warner Brothers drops that everybody was worried were going to like destroy theater going. And I don't think, like, I think they did this out of pure greed, but I think it's just another example of how like nobody knows shit in Hollywood. And it's always like the accidental stuff that makes changes to the industry. And like, basically nobody was going to be the first to move on releasing blockbusters because it's just too big of a gamble.
Right.
But like this gave them insurance to like release Kong vs. Godzilla and Mortal Kombat. And those movies are like doing solid. Well, Kong vs. Godzilla was like a big hit at the box office. Mortal Kombat was like solid. It made $22 million domestic over the weekend. So it seems like this is sort of the stepping stone they needed to like get from everything closed to, okay, we'll start releasing blockbusters. And Warner Brothers now is responsible for almost 50% of the box office so far this year, like with Tenet, and they re-released Elf, which was smart. And they're like, yeah, there's some people want to go to the movie theaters. And I can't wait.
I just need that, you know, hey, I'll be there 2 weeks after I'm vaccinated.
Yeah. And 2 weeks after you're vaccinated, I think is right around the time that F9 comes out. So.
Oh, great. I would love to fall asleep off of edibles in another fashion.
That's my problem.
Yeah. I get too high for, and I've talked about this before. I'll get too high in anticipation of a Fast and Furious movie and I'm unable to view the film.
That's so good. I mean, that's the thing is, it's just like, I feel like also I haven't done a ton of the like renting movies at home, you know, for $20 or whatever, because I don't know. I like to watch movies by myself. Like I love going to the theater alone. Mm. And I don't know why, but it feels fine to spend $20 to like actually go somewhere. But sitting on my couch by myself for $20 feels sad to me.
Depressing. Yeah.
So
for sure.
I don't know.
Only thing I actually paid money to rent was the new Craft, like the sequel to The Craft that came out.
Version.
Because I fuck with the original Craft so heavy. So Her Majesty and I were like, yo, this shit came. Let's watch this shit.
Yeah.
And that was like the only time I've put money down. Otherwise, it was like passively through whatever HBO Max was giving us for free, the drop ins. Yeah.
Thank you, HBO.
I paid for Minari and that was it. And Minari's great. Did you see the interview with the winner of the Best Supporting Actress?
Jung?
Like, yeah, everyone was like, yo, like asking her about Brad Pitt. And then like back in Korea, they were interviewing her and she was like
with the
rolling
wine?
Her eyes. Yeah, drinking wine, being like, yeah, and then kept asking me about Brad Pitt, fool. I was just like, ugh. Like, apparently her speech when she was like, oh, it's really nice to finally meet you, Brad Pitt, was like she was shading Brad Pitt because he was a producer on Minari. And he like never showed up on the set.
Oh,
and
wow.
Apparently, okay. Right after they stepped off stage, she was like, yo, you need to fund your movies better. Like, you didn't do a good enough job funding this movie. Like, there were problems that.
Oh, and then is that where the story came out where she was like subsidizing like her own travel at a certain point?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
And so she like everyone was like, oh, my God, what did he smell like? You must be like,
he smelled like a cheap ass motherfucker. Yeah. What he smelled like.
It did not smell like money.
He smelled like the samples of perfumes. Like, he didn't even buy the shits.
Smelled like horse hair.
Cheap ass motherfucker. Yeah.
Did you see he had a ponytail on that he pulled off halfway through?
Oh. Like, as he was talking?
Like, he was, like, to the side of the stage and pulled it off. It
yeah,
like
why a, not, you know? Because he's got to let people know he's here to shake his hair out, like those reveals in an 80s film where, like, the nerd who's had their hair up is like...
No. It was a fake ponytail that he pulled off his head. I swear to God.
Wait, what?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's...
Okay.
Because I was going to say if it was real and then he pulled out the hair tie, I mean, he's going to have that crease and you don't want to see that, you know?
He pulled. Oh, okay. See, is that he had a tiny ponytail?
Yeah.
Well, now you're saying.
I thought he pulled off a fake ponytail. He might have just pulled.
I like that better.
I misread the headline. You'll have to forgive me.
Yeah, I know. Okay. I like this version where he was like, like he's so embarrassed because his hairstyle's like, no, Brad, rock the little fake pony. It's gonna look really cool.
Oh, I'm such an idiot.
And then he bails on it on stage. Like, fucking fake ass pony.
Nope, it was real. I'm an idiot.
Okay.
Anyways, hey, that's what people tune in for. Paige, it's been, as always, such a pleasure having you on Daily Zeitgeist. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Thank you for having me. You can follow me on, I guess, whichever social media platform you think you're like not going to delete soon. So if that's Twitter or Instagram, it's at Paige Weldon. I am also on TikTok at Paige Weldon Cartoons. And you can also listen to my podcast, Mall Talk, where we talk about the mall, available probably right here on the platform where you're listening to this.
Mm-hmm. Please listen to my episode.
Yes.
It's so Miles good. Is on that.
I was on there talking about just the power of the Fashion Square Mall in Los Angeles and how it was the fucking center of my universe.
Center of
and culture. I'm not gonna lie, Paige. I'm trying to think of the last time I was so energized by a topic to talk about. So yes. And if you fuck with, like, everybody fucks with the mall.
That's the thing, is it's talk. Like, I think people maybe think it's like a podcast about like shopping and about like that kind of stuff. But really it's like, we have a guest on every week and it kind of just becomes like an interview about where they're from and how they grew up because of their relationship to like stories at the mall or not going to the mall. Like, you know, some people are like, actually, I didn't go to the mall. I used to just hang out in a basement. That was more my thing, you know? Mm. And it just becomes about that. And I mean, then we got to talk to you about working at Coach, which was so fun.
I had things written down, Paige. I didn't get to. I was like, I'm not going to ruin their podcast by being like, hold on, where are you going? Where are you going? I got this other one about how I got fired.
Look for part two.
And is there a tweet or some other work of social media you've been enjoying, Paige?
Okay, so I had a hard time choosing. Can I say two?
Yeah, many, of course. Many of course. You want.
Okay, so one was I was looking for stuff for, we do a Patreon for Mall Talk where we'll talk more about like mall news and like things like mall events and things. And I found this TikTok for this mall. Eastfield Mall. I forget where it is exactly, but it's this TikTok where the marketing manager has started posting videos of these two geese who are nesting in the parking lot of the mall, and she named them Henry and Violet, and she like posts an update of them every day. And this like first video, I'm just gonna play the very beginning of it into my mic so that you can hear.
This is Henry and Violet. They decided to nest here at the mall. So we gathered everything Violet would need.
She gets like stuff from the Greek restaurant inside the mall for them to eat. And she like cleans off this pool to fill with water for them. And like, she like, there's another one where she, there was one that got huge where she's like getting berries for them. There's another one where she like goes to the hardware store and buys like dried mealworms for them.
Wow. Oh shit.
It's Eastfield Mall on TikTok. The latest is that apparently other geese have started to show up.
Oh, uh-oh. Yeah. That's going to be.
Yeah. And the chick is like, she's like, Henry, you got to stop telling people to come here. This is not a good place for people to nest. We're taking care of you because. So it's like very sweet. They put barriers around this. It's like one of those little islands in a parking lot.
They chose to
have their babies, which
like
I'm like
a tree or something.
Yeah, yes. Yeah. It's so fun. I'm following them. I did a duet of me reacting to one of these videos and they responded, "You're our first duet." And I was like,
"All right.
Hey.
Hell yeah. An honor, dude."
You're like, "Help me get my kids back."
Like, what? Wait.
Oh my God.
I'm involving this mall in all my personal problems now. the other thing I wanted to bring up is, do you guys know that Lord has an Instagram where she reviews onion rings?
Nah.
Lord, as in Australia's very own? Lord?
New Zealand's very own.
New Zealand, sorry. She reviews like from a restaurant onion rings?
So she has this Instagram account that she actually started to be like a private thing with her and her friends. And like, I think she was doing it like when she was on tour. And then, of course, people found it and like realized it was her. She only has like 9 posts ever on here, but it's like pictures of onion rings. So it's like every few months, Lord will be like, "So I ate some onion rings. Here's my review." And she posted one like yesterday. She last time before that was in December. And just be her being like, "We're talking pickled onion rings, which is a first for this reviewer. I totally vibe the concept. Used to eat pickled onions out of a jar as a youngster. However, I think you're going to go there. If you're going to go there and let acidity rather than sweetness dominate. Absolutely sensational batter. Perhaps the best I've tried. 4 out of 5 overall ring experience."
Wow.
She posted pictures of the onion rings. I want to believe as a Lord fan that this could be a sign that maybe she's going to release another album after several years, but probably not. I don't know.
Yeah, it's been quiet for a minute.
I love that was a 4 out of 5 and not a 5 out of 5. Like, she has real standards. That sounded like a 5 out of 5, and she was like, "Yeah, could have been better." Yeah.
She's got to be honest. I mean,
with the bullshit.
No, I don't know
best
how often
batter
she gives
I've
that.
Ever had could have been better.
Yeah, I don't know if she's ever given a 5 out of 5.
Damn.
Yeah, here's one that's 1 out of 5 from Burger King.
Damn. Tough day for Burger King. Miles, where can people find you? What's a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray. Also, the other podcast, 420 Day Fiance. Let's see. A couple of tweets I like. This is from @PTACJokes, Alex Patak. Is that how you say his name? Then this is just Sub-Zero kills a guy. Me. That's from the video game. That happens in the video game. I love that shit. Another one is from Chunk Barty, @ChunkBarty. Tweeting, "Keeping myself sharp by regularly asking myself tough questions like, what happened yesterday? And what was I planning on doing just now?" Which feels just about right. And then another one is from Patrick Monahan @PattyMo, quote tweeting a Wired headline that says, "This researcher says AI is neither artificial nor intelligent." And next to that is Mike Myers' portrayal of Linda Richman from Coffee Talk, which would definitely be a topic. She's like, AI is neither artificial nor intelligent. Talk amongst yourselves. And one of my favorite ones was Duran Duran is neither a Duran nor a Duran. Talk amongst yourself. So for the washed SNL fans out there, that's for the Linda Richman fan.
I had another Chunk Barty tweet I enjoyed. "So crazy when someone gives you the prompt, tell me something you've never told anyone. Like, are you out of your fucking mind?" you can find me on Twitter @Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter @DailyZeitgeist. We're @TheDailyZeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, DailyZeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as a song that we recommend you go check out. Miles, what are we recommending today?
This is a track from Billy Woods. We did a track of his called SpongeBob a few weeks ago. I don't know. Could have been years. I don't know. But this is another track from him called Spider Hole. And I just like his whole flow. It's like lethargic, but feels very poetic and but also rhythmic enough that it still feels like bars. And I just appreciate the topics that he raps about. So this is Billy Woods with Spider Hole.
All right, go check that out. The Daily Zeitgeist, a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We're back this afternoon to tell you what's trending. We'll talk to y'all then. Bye.
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 Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
We are the voice of NASCAR.
The green flag is in the air, and we are underway the great American race.
The Motor Racing Network. NASCAR Cup, Xfinity, and Craftsman Truck Series Racing. Live on your hometown radio station and MRN or NASCAR.com. Martinsville, Talladega, the Chicago Street Course. We have the side-by-side action and last lap passes for the win.
Photo finishes, Ryan Blaney will win.
The voice of NASCAR, the Motor Racing Network. Work.